May I be led by my Father in heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with the Lamb of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, at his right side of the throne. May my words come from the goodness of my heart within my temple, which harbors the Holy Spirit, my comforter. There's been a lot of things going on this week about the teaching and about God revealing things in us as individuals and in us as in his body. There's a lot of things that he is revealing to us. The real question is, are we paying attention during this Feast of Unleavened Bread? A lot of times the Father is talking, he is showing. Sometimes it might not even be a dream. It might be something physically that happens.
Absolutely.
Are you paying attention? Are you listening? Because our Father in heaven is so good, he will not just let us be wandering abroad just like chickens with the head cut off. He's not going to do that.
Amen.
So where are we at? Today, the seventh day of unleavened bread, a while ago the Lord gave me a lot of word and I didn't understand. It was almost as if I was in a dark room and I got a lot of puzzle pieces and I don't know what goes where. This is part 3 of Embracing the Challenge. Tomorrow will be part 4. That'll be the last part. Today is Embracing the Challenge, Facing Our Enemy. And I didn't know how the Lord wanted me to do it. It was so much word. I'm like, this all can't be in one sermon because I'll be up there for a day and a half. It's just too much. So burnt offerings was the first one. The second was heart check. This is Embracing the Challenge. And tomorrow we'll talk about realizing your potential. During this time of year, we must remember our ancestors marching as a unit coming out of Egypt or Mizraim, as our Father called them out with his mighty right hand. As children of God and brethren to Yahshua, we remember and observe Christ as our Passover lamb, saving us from sin, saving us from the second death, and saving us from our own selves. Because a lot of the times, we're our worst enemy. The devil's out there. The enemy's out there. But a lot of times, you need to look in the mirror. That's your worst enemy.
Absolutely.
Now, the common denominator during unleavened bread is that there is confrontation going on. There's confrontation between the Father in heaven and between the rebellious one, Lucifer, Satan, the devil. There's confrontation going on. He is the great deceiver. But during this feast, we are in a confrontation also with our own selves in regards to our flesh. So we do clean and take the leavening out of our house, but we're also going to be taking leavening and sin out of us, out of our temples. Because we do harbor, we are a temple. We are a walking temple, are we not? So we have to clean our own temple. So there's confrontation. Because during this time, during this week, I'm positive, and maybe not you for sure, me, that there are different things popping up. Say, hey, this isn't clean yet.
Still going.
Did you look under that? What are you thinking about right now, Jeremy? Why are you thinking that right now? Why'd you say that? So this is a time of confrontation. So who gets the victory on this great and glorious day, the seventh day of unleavened bread? Yah always protects and provides.
Amen.
For us.
Yes.
And he's already prepared the way for us to meet him at Shavuot or Pentecost.
Amen.
He's already done. The real question is, how are we going to be once we've crossed the sea? We know in the scriptures that they rejoiced, that they celebrated. They had things. But what happened? Murmuring, bickering, whining. So how are we going to be? What has he conquered on this seventh day of unleavened bread? How has his mighty hand moved in our lives, individuals and as a body? And what is going to be your response after that? Will you be a murmurer? Or will you be a mighty one? Which one are you going to be? Which category do you fall to? Do you fall to the majority? Or the minority? You're going to be like the 10 who's scared, or you're going to be like Joshua and Caleb who says, no, my God has prepared the way. Maybe we fall short. Maybe we doubt. Maybe we lose our cool. We give in to sin, or we give in to Pharaoh as we see him. We see water, and then there's Pharaoh and the army. Maybe we just give in, which is what a lot of them were going to do. Moses, just leave us alone. Why don't you leave us alone? Forget all the miracles. Forget all the things we just saw. Forget the fact that we're free. I just want to go back there. That's my comfort zone. The Most High is uncomfortable. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, Yahshua, uncomfortable. But a gentleman, not going to force himself on you. So you're going to have to come out your comfort zone. You got to come out of Syria. You got to come out of Egypt. You got to come over here. What about losing faith? Losing faith in the written word or the spoken word? Because the Most High speaks, He is a living God. He is not like the other gods of the Philistines or the different gods of different religions of today that don't speak, that don't heal, that don't save, that doesn't teach, that doesn't nurture. Our God lives. So we have the written word and the spoken word. Has the Father spoken something to you that you're supposed to cleave to? Like your Zeke's? Yeah. Man, I'm going to talk about the written word. What about the spoken word that you know and nobody can take it from you? The Father told me such and such. Hallelujah. Are you hanging on to that? Damn. Right. Do we thoroughly clean our dwellings in all areas we are responsible for? Brethren, we got to understand. Renewed covenant believers, followers of Christ, sinners saved by grace. Okay, we have to de-leaven our temple, which the Holy Spirit dwells in, because in the scriptures it talks about not quenching the Ruach or the Holy Spirit inside of you. So is there so much mess in your temple that it is decreasing the Spirit inside of you? That's why you got to clean out the temple. Because we want to have a temple like it talks about in Ezekiel. The cloud of the Most High was so thick, it just had to get on the floor. Is that the way your temple is? Are you that? Are you a walking example of that? Is the Holy Spirit so thick in you that there's no room for nothing else? That's the point He's trying to get us to. So did we leave anything that can quench that fire of God on the altar in our heart? Did we leave anything to pollute the living waters under our temple that Christ promises? Don't turn, I'll read it for you. John chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So, are you polluting the temple? In you, are you polluting the water deep inside of you? Is there leavening? Is there stuff inside of you that is contaminating the water? Because the Father says, or Yahshua says, that the water is supposed to rise up all out of you. Like a volcano. Boom! I'll read another example in red letters. John chapter 7. 37. Don't turn it. I'll read it for you. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his body shall flow rivers of living water. So, are we cleaning out the temple which holds the Spirit? That we want a huge cloud Spirit in our temple that we can't even stand in, and the water that is deep, deep, deep inside of us, are we polluting that? So how thorough was your cleaning? How thorough was it? Now, we all know, some of us, me included, Some things popped up this week, didn't it? So according to the Most High, we have still have work to do. We have work to do. The question is, how hard do you want to have that perfect, clean temple with just a reservoir of water bursting up out of you? That is what the enemy fears. That is what the demons are trembling at when you walk. That's how your shadow will heal people in wheelchair. So once again, facing our enemy, we're going to talk about our enemy today, but very first, get a mirror. You're the biggest problem. My biggest problem is me. So can we humble? Can we be humble and needy like little children and allow the Most High to close the deal for us during this feast and put His mark on major matters in our life? Or we're going to let Him do it? Can we imagine Moshe during that time? Pharaoh's coming. Water's over here. They're looking at him. Could you imagine Moshe saying, "Men, grab your swords. Let's turn and fight." That would have been quick. That would have been real quick. So we're going to let the Lord handle the big things. Because year after year, this is my fourth Passover season. And I can honestly say there have been some things that are not even a deal. Not even a major problem. But what about the big issues? What about Pharaoh? Pharaoh's big. Sin is big. We're going to look at sin. We're going to look at how it talks about the number of the Canaanites. You can't even count them. It's so many. That's sin in you and me. So we're going to let Him handle the issues. Or we're going to be like man and, you know, fix it ourselves. Or will we rely on Him? Will we be uncomfortable? We'll be uncomfortable over here. Be like the minority. I like the majority. It's easy to follow everybody else. But everybody's going this way. Apparently it's not going to make it. According to Matthew chapter 7. Turn to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Exodus 23 verse 15. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. So gentlemen, before that in verse 14, down in 17 it talks about the men appearing to the Lord in three separate feasts. Okay, this is one of them. But in the end of verse 15 it says, and none shall appear unto me empty handed. Now, we know that, let's turn to Exodus 12. Let's just turn to Exodus 12, and we'll see why the Father says that. Exodus 12. Well, that's on something else. But coming empty-handed, when they left Egypt, they received from the Egyptians. They received jewels and gold and raiment, and they received, they here, take this and please leave. So when he says that we should, because that was the first official unleavened bread with his people. So now every unleavened bread, don't come before me empty handed, because however you want to slice it, I have provided for you. What you did with your spoil, that's on you. But I got to get my part. So don't appear to me empty handed. Because your ancestors, they left full. Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs with the appearance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. We talked about the confrontation. So it was a confrontation with Pharaoh, but also and the Egyptians, but with the gods. He threw that out there. I'm gonna take care of their gods. So unleavened bread, confrontation. Back to 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout all your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done for you. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he be a stranger or born in the land, ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. So unleavened bread is a time of de-leavening. It's time of getting this stuff out physically, spiritually, your minds mentally. Changing your thought process. What are you thinking about? Yeah. Exodus will start in chapter 12. Starting in verse 22. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of this house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood on the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you according as hath promised, ye shall keep this service. We'll freeze right there. So in verse 25 it says, when it comes to pass. So at some point in the future, that you're going to come into a land that I promised your forefathers, We're going to keep this feast. Just want to keep that in mind. And it shall come, 26, and it shall come to pass, when your children will say unto you, what mean ye by this service, that ye shall say it is a sacrifice to the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was none like none, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. He called for Moses and Aaron by night, and he said, rise up and get ye forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we shall all be dead men. And the children and then the people took their dough before it was leavened, before their kneading troughs, being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels and silver and jewels of gold and raiment. So one of the reasons why we should never be empty-handed, because he has provided for us. And a lot of times, what did the children of Israel have to do to get these jewels and silver and clothes? Nothing. Just listen. Be obedient. Get out of his way. Let him do what he has to do. And it will be provided for you. And then at the necessary time, you give me what you're supposed to give me. That's not hard at all. Stay out of my way. It's my mighty hand that moves, not you. Because you're fragile. You can break. You can be deceived. You can be, somebody can offer you a little extra money, offer you something, and you'll turn your back on me. So stay out the way and let the mighty hand of the Lord move. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So on the seventh day they were spoiled on the first day. Let's turn to Exodus. So we'll stay in 12, 38. Go ahead and skip down 38. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, every much cattle. And they baked 11 cakes of the dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and all their generations. Okay, let's skip over, well, we won't not too far. Exodus 13. We'll start in verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to which he sware unto thy father to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. Okay, freeze right there. So once again, when we come into a certain land, we're going to keep this. Now, when they left Egypt, they didn't go right over into the land of Canaan. They were wandering around. It was a lot of time. So just kind of keep that in mind. Verse 6, 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt, or when the Lord brought me out of sin. Praise the Lord. And it shall be a sign unto thee, and upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his seasons from year to year. Okay, skip over to Exodus 14. Exodus 14, starting at verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. So they want to follow the majority. The majority is saying, you know, they probably want to kill him because we're about to get killed. And it's all your fault, Moses. And since it's your fault, it's all God's fault too. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So you be still. Don't do anything. In verse 13, he says, and see the salvation of the Lord. We know the salvation translates to Yeshua. So Jesus will handle this. You just relax. You don't do anything. Don't get in the way. Let the Lord, let Yeshua, let salvation happen on this day. We'll stay in 14. And we'll shift down to 19. And the angel of the camp which went, the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before the face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud in darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by strong east wind, and all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and trembled the host of the Egyptians. Now it says that in the morning watch, the Lord looked out of the cloud, out of the pillar of the cloud, at the Egyptians. Now, we just read very clearly that salvation is going to happen today. Salvation will happen today. Yeshua is here. Your Savior is here. Before He's even supposed to be here, He's already here. The one who is, was, and is to come. That makes a lot of sense. So Yeshua is looking at them through the cloud in the morning watch. Like a watchman. You have different watches throughout the night. Yeshua's looking. And he decides to go and trouble the host of the camp. He troubles the host of the camp. So we know that Yeshua's right there. And then Christ goes and troubles the Egyptians. Let the Lord fight your battles for you. Let the Lord help you with your problems. Whatever your situation is in your own personal life. Let Him do them. Don't you do them. Because if you do them, you're going to drop the ball. You're going to mess it up. You're going to get in the way. Exodus 15, starting in verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare Him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. We'll freeze right there. Christ sits on what side of the throne? The right side, right? And we just read that salvation will happen on this day. And then the Lord in the morning watch looked and troubled their camp. And now they're singing, they are ecstatic. And the mighty right hand. Back in 7. And in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of the nostrils, the water were gathering together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with the wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in mighty waters. Who is likened to thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in prayer and praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. We touched it on verse 6. On Psalms chapter 2, I'll read it to you. Just you guys stay right there. Psalms chapter 2, verse 9. Psalms 2, verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now in my psalm in chapter 2, it says the kingdom of Christ. I'm going to read that again. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Were they not singing that on the seventh day of unleavened bread? in verse 6, "Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." Psalm 72, I'll read it to you. Psalm 72. I'll read it to you really quick. Psalm 72, verse 4. "He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy. He shall break in pieces the oppressor." Psalm 72, verse 4. That's interesting. Didn't that just happen here in Exodus? A repeat of history. Praise the Lord. For him not being like us, inconsistent, inconsistent, not reliable on, undependable. Thank God that he is opposite of us and merciful upon us. Exodus 19. Long way to go. Exodus 19, verse 10. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord shall come down in the sight of the people upon Mount Sinai." Sanctifying and making ourselves presentable unto the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The God that we serve never changes his mind. He's not going to be one way to one person and then another way to another people on any part of the timeline. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So the sanctification and preparing ourselves is no different than them. When they're going and they're having to prepare, we should be like that every day. Every day. Because we should want to have an encounter with our God every day. So we have to do the necessary steps. Let's look at, because I'm going to get this in. Skip that. Let's go ahead and let's look at, turn to Deuteronomy. I'm going to have to skip some stuff because I got it. It's just so much. And it never fails. You think you don't have enough word and, you know, you got over, which is not bad by any means. But Deuteronomy 16, we'll start at verse 1. "Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen in all of thy coast 7 days, neither shall there be anything of the flesh which thou sacrifice the first day at even. Remain all night until the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of the gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in. There thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at a going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt turn in the morning and go unto thy tents. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein." We'll skip down to 16 and 17, same chapter. "Three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. So once again, he's already prepared, and he's already provided. So we cannot show up empty-handed to our Father. Turn to Joshua. Turn to Joshua. Okay. And Kelly Mack a while ago did a message on unleavened bread. And we had stopped twice and we were talking about when they come into the land that he promised their forefathers, it was going to be during the month of Abib. That was going to be the set time. Regardless of how many years it takes to get there, whenever we get there, it'll be during this time. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, then the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way before. And about 2,000 cubits, things like 1,000 feet, or 1,000 yards, or I'm sorry, I think I thought I had it written down. 1,000 feet, 1,000 yards. I think it's 1,000 yards because I was like, man, 10 football fields. 1,000 yards? So it's like 10 football fields from 0 to 0. So the power of the Lord, you got to be that far back. And also so you can see which way you're going. Once again, get back and let him go. You get back. Verse 5, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Once again, we have to speak constantly sanctifying ourselves if we want to be in his presence. Outside, they're talking about outside. Stay away from your woman. Don't eat nothing unclean. But renew covenant, your temple, get that leavening out. Don't pollute the waters that's deep inside of you that Christ wants to cause to well out. And let's go now to chapter 5, still in Joshua, starting in verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. Then the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So we just read that they kept the Passover. Okay, we're not going to read this the next chapter, chapter 6, but the next chapter, they start going around the city. They start going around Jericho. So on the seventh day, the Most High, when they followed the instructions, the walls fell. So you know that they kept the Passover. Then the following day, they started marching around. They got their orders from the captain of the host of the Lord, seventh day. So once again, the Father has cleared the path through the Red Sea. The Father is now showing his power on the seventh day of unleavened bread with Jericho, bringing down. And what did they do? They went in and they got all the spoils. So once again, on the seventh day, don't come to me empty-handed. Because your forefathers, I provided for them just as I provide for you. Are you paying attention to my provision? Is the real question. Joshua chapter 7. And only because of time, I'm not going to read all that. But Achan's sin. Achan stole. that went into Jericho. He stole some gold, some silver, and a Babylonian garment. He stole in 21 a Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a weight of gold, 50 shekels in weight. Now, and obviously he had his consequence. And when we go back, when we go back, the Israelites, they crossed, the Most High saved, they murmured once, they murmured twice, then here come the Amalekites. And they're fighting. And unless Moses' hands is up, they're not going to win. If Moses' hands was getting tired, his hands fall down, they're going to lose. So we see the pattern here. Now we get to Jericho. Joshua's in charge now. They follow the proper instructions. They get through. The Most High calls the walls of Jericho to fall. They go in. They get the goods. But you have one guy sins. One guy steals. In the previous time, you got murmuring and complaining. So are you a murmurer and a complainer? Or are you a thief? What's going to be your hold up after today? What's going to be your deal? I'm worried about my own right now. But what's going to be your deal? Once it hits sundown on the way to Pentecost, what's going to be your issue? Because history repeats. So what's going to be your issue? Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11. We'll start in verse 3, chapter 11, verse 3. And the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite, and to the Hittite, and to the Perizzite, and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore, and multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. And they're talking about all the different Canaanite tribes. And you can take that, and you can look in the mirror and list off all your issues and problems, and not to mention the things that you don't even know about, because David tells us in the book of Psalms about the iniquities in your heart that you're not even aware of. Yeah. So as many Canaanites and Hivites and Perizzites and all these people out are the same exact number of issues you have, and Christ is one to conquer that. But are you getting in his way? Are you holding up the process? Are you a murmurer? Are you a complainer? Are you a thief? He's done something for you, and then you go and you mess it up once he's done it. Verse 19, chapter 11 still. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All the other they took in battle. We're not going to go over that, but the Gibeonites, they deceived Joshua, and they became servants or workers for the Israelites. So we won't go into that. They tricked him in chapter 9, if you want to put that in your notes. Okay, Joshua 13. Why are there so many Canaanites, and why do we have so many problems? Joshua 13. Nevertheless, 13:13, Joshua. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Gershites nor the Maacathites, but the Gershites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance the sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire at their inheritance, as he said unto them. Okay. So they did not expel the Gershites, the Maacathites. They dwelt among them. So here's a question to you. Do you compromise with your weaknesses in your flesh or with your sin? Because they did right here. And we're going to read a lot of places where they did not expel Canaanite tribes or enemies, and they compromised. So what do you compromise with? Joshua chapter 15, verse 63. Joshua 15, verse 63. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Judah at Jerusalem until this day. Well, there goes some more guys. Let's see. 16, chapter 16, 9 and 10. And the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites until this day and serve under tribute. So, serving under tribute. So, let's see. So, they are mighty. And it says in Scripture sometimes that the Israelites were mighty. They didn't drive these people out, but you know what? Y'all can work. Y'all can pay us a little tax money. Whatever. So, what do you compromise with? And what weaknesses do you have that is just a little bit suitable for you? That you can take something that's maybe a little bit bad and make it kind of good to fit your own selfish needs? That's what they just did. Did the Father not say, drive them out? I will send a hornet in front of you to drive them out. They're making deals with them. So what sin or what weaknesses do you compromise with and deal with? Makes the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread make a lot of sense now. On a yearly, you're going to clean out your temple. Because there are some things you compromise with. There are some things you cover your eyes. I sweep it up under the rug. Joshua 17, verse 11. And Manasseh had an Issachar and an Asher, Bethshan and her towns, and Iblim and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Tanakh and her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, even three countries. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. Now, when I first was going through this, and I saw the Endor, I was like, man, that sounds familiar. Just stay right there. I'll just read it to you. I'm going to turn to 1 Samuel and read this to you. 1 Samuel 28. There's a lot of time between Joshua. Am I saying that right? 1 Samuel 20. Oh, I'm in 2. Well, that's a problem. You're in 2 Samuel, son. Got to be in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 28:7. Then said Saul to his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. So, because they did not drive out the Canaanites or sin, over time, the sin that builds up. And now you have witches. And think about poor Saul. Poor, poor Saul. So Saul didn't drive out the Amalekites either. And we get down to Esther. And they're just roaming free. King, let's kill all the Jews. But you can go all the way back. So where are we going to step up and say, you know what? I stand in the name of the Most High. And I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna clean out my temple. I'm gonna get rid of these Canaanites because they're not gonna stop. And we'll see one reason why. We'll see one reason why a little bit later. But at Endor, so they could have squashed that problem a long time ago. But because they did not, now Saul is at the last break. This was the final was the straw broke his back. I need a witch. This was the last bad thing he did. It was like, Samuel came back. What are you doing? You're done now. Well, there was a witch in Endor. And apparently that the ancestors did not take care of business. And neither did Saul. Where are we at? So tolerating sin. Being content with wickedness. Compromising with the devil. Compromising with your flesh. Now in the Tanakh, in that same chapter 17, 11 through 13, and 12, being the Tanakh, it says the Canaanites wished to dwell in the land. That they wanted to be there. They wished to be there. Sure. Compromise with them. We'll work for you. We'll do this for you. We'll do whatever you need. Joshua 23, starting in verse 3. And Joshua called for all Israel and for the elders and for their heads and for the judges and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord hath done unto all those nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess the land as the Lord your God has promised you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do to all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside there from to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourself unto them, but cleave unto your Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he it is that fighteth for you, as he that promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your eyes, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. We'll stop right there. So the Lord says, I've driven out a lot of people. Strong. I've driven them out. There's some that still remains. That's your deal. Okay? Don't worship their gods. Don't serve them. Don't bow. Don't come into their women. Okay? And I will drive out the rest. But you have to stick to my word. You have to stick to my commandments. Obviously, if you're doing the opposite, you're not sticking to it, and I'm taking my hands off the situation, so you want to do it your way. And they're going to be thorns. They're going to be thorns to you. Thorns in your eyes, so you can't see straight. If you can't see straight, how can you follow God? How can you be Christ-like if you can't even see because you got thorns in your eyes, or you have Canaanite activities in your life? You have a lot of leaven in your temple that you don't want to get rid of. Let's look at Judges. Turn to Judges. Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, and said that he expelled thence from the three sons of Anak. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwelt the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem until this day. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to describe Bethel. Now the name of the city was before Luz, and the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, Show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bashan and her towns, nor Tanakh and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land. It came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out, which they were supposed to do. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahal, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidion, nor of Ahlab, nor of Achzib, nor of Helba, nor of Afik, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth-Noth, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh and Bethon became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down into the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in the Mount Heres in Ahijan and in Shalbim. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up to Akribim, to the rock upward. Just hang in with me. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. I have brought you into the land which I swore unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? So, and I wanted to cover all that to kind of paint a picture. Of all these different tribes that they are letting make it. They are letting the inhabitants stay. How much leavening are you keeping? How good is your cleaning? Where does the Most High come in as far as the mighty hand on the seventh day bringing you out? Because he's trying to say, he's trying to fulfill a promise to them, but they're slowing down the process. Because they are allowing people to stay that will not be beneficial to them and what God's trying to do with them. Back to 3. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you, and keep thorns in your mind. And it come to pass that when the angel of the Lord spake these words, and to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept, and they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man to his inheritance to possess the land. Now the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he had did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gosh. And also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which had been done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. So now, business has just picked up. Okay, we're going to skip down to 20. We'll skip down to 20, same chapter. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, because he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Now, in 22, it says that he wants to prove, or he wants to test. So the leavening that is left in us, our issues from year to year, that's a test. The same way that they were tested with the nations around them that were thorns and snares, or the same issues inside of you that are thorns and snares, he wants to test you to see whether you're walking his way or not. Because he is a gentleman, he's not going to force you to do it. He's not a dictator. So where are you at really? Where are you really at? Well, let's leave this. We'll conquer this problem, we'll leave that problem. We'll conquer this problem, and we'll leave that. That's a big issue for her. Let's leave that, and let's see how she goes the next couple months. That's what he just says. I'm going to stop driving it out of you, because I want to see where you really are. So let's have some testing going on, and let's see where you fall short in. Let's see if you really want to walk in my way, you might overcome. So before you receive the salvation, before I save you, rescue you, I need to know who you really are. It sounds good coming out your mouth, but I'm looking at your heart because only the Father knows our heart, and I see a lot of mess. So we're not going to clean all this up. I want to know what you're going to do when that same issue is right in your face. What are you going to do? What are you going to think? What are you going to say? How are you going to act? Judges 3, verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as he had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely the five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in the Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon until the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So he wants to know, are you going to keep my Torah or not? You have the Holy Spirit and you are a commandment keeper. Are you going to follow me or not? And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites, and they took their daughters to be their wives. They gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot that the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Now, hang on just a second. I don't have time. But we were talking about thorns. Turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 22. I know I'm probably way over time, so sorry, people on CD. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 5. Proverbs 22, verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. So, the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites are compared to thorns in the Torah. Now we have in Proverbs that thorns and snares, also snares too, but thorns or snares, they're in the way of the boastful, arrogant. But those who are not like that, you're going to be far from them. So, in living in this world today, surrounded by Canaanites and Hittites and Hivites and Jerushites and Girgashites and all these different Canaanites, people, all these different types of sin, are you separating? Is there a clear distinction between you and a thorn or you and a snare? Are you staying clear from that? Or are you right in the midst? Did you just dodge a snare this morning getting here? Now, verse 6, right up under that, children, listen, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So young people, that's for you. That's for everybody, but especially you youth out there. Turn to, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to read it. 2 Samuel 23:6, still talking about thorns. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. So thorns get thrusted away. Canaanites are thorns. Hivites are thorns. These different ites are thorns. Psalms 58 verse 9. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. Thorns taken away by the whirlwind of the Lord. Psalms 118, 12. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Thorns get burned. Chaff gets burned. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 13, 18. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns and shall kindle in the thickness of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting of smoke. So, Egyptians were punished by the Father. Jericho comes down, and we're seeing where the thorns get it, and he called them thorns and snares. So once again, are you going to compromise with the wickedness? Compromise with these things in you? You're going to compromise with, or are you going to let him fight your battle for you? Are you going to let him seal the deal today? Or are you going to seal your own deal and do it your own way? My own way. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 17. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and briars in one day. In one day. Isaiah 27, 4. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I will go through them. I will burn them together. Turn to Song of Solomon's or Songs of Songs. It depends what's in your Bible. Chapter 2. So I don't think y'all are understanding the thorns. And this one makes it really, really clear. Songs of Solomon or Songs of Songs, starting in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Are you his love? Are you his bride? Are you a lily among the thorns? Because the Savior is going to reach down in there and not worry about the thorns and get his beautiful bride or daughter or son, his loved one. He will do that. So you are a lily among the thorns. Or are you a thorn? Are you a snare? Are you a weed or tare? It's right there. You can just walk outside and see the Most High's playing right there in the field. It's just that simple. So there's really no excuse. So are you this lily that he loves that is among the thorns, but he will get his lily out? Are you a lily amongst the thorns, just like they were amongst the Canaanites, just like we are amongst sin, outside and inside? We've got to be a beautiful lily among the thorns. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. We just read about the lily among the thorns. But we also see it in red letters that sometimes that seed is dropped, and whatever sprouts up, the thorns choke it out. So, are you a thorn? The thorn is compared to is the world, the concerns of the world. So, sin, thorns, you, lily, you living, you being choked out. We're surrounded by thorns. Second Corinthians. chapter 12. Almost getting there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're still on the topic of thorns, which is a symbol of sin and cleaning out our temple. And does the Lord get the victory on this day? What is He putting a stamp on in your life? And it's a victory today. And you're free today. But we are aware of the murmuring and the things after. Be very aware. Chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Or such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So, how many thorns are in your flesh? How many messengers of Satan are trying to keep you from doing your job? The thorns. It's nothing new. Whether we're talking about the different Canaanite tribes, or whether we're talking about Hasatan himself, or whether you're being a man or woman of God and looking in the mirror and seeing the snares and the thorns and the pitfalls and the leaven inside of you, it does not change. He doesn't change. One reason why he ain't going to change, because we're still the same kind of people. That we're going to be, he's going to do something mighty. He's done mighty stuff for us. We're still going to complain. We're still going to have issues. We're still going to steal. We're still going to lie. We're still going to cheat. We're still going to backbite. We're still going to do this. We're still going to do that. And that is haltering your encounter at Pentecost. That halters. That's why we have to be sanctified. They sanctify, like, look, the Lord's coming tomorrow. He is coming tomorrow. Get ready. Tomorrow, get ready in 3 days. Get ready. We have to be like that all the time. We have the Ruach HaKodesh inside of us, the living waters inside of us, I hope. Can't dirty that water inside of us. I'm going to skip that. Let's go back to Judges. I'm almost there. You say it, a few more minutes. Okay, turn back to Judges. This blew my mind when I was reading this. But the Lord is good. Judges chapter 6. Okay. Judges chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when the Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east even came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. Okay, in the Torah, it says that when you are rebellious against His word, disobedient against His word, that you lose the fruit of your land. You lose land and crops, and aliens come in and take what's yours, and it's just, oh well, sorry Charlie. And this is what's happening right now. They're under the hand of Midian for 7 years, oppressed for 7 years. For then they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Once again, the innumerable number of sin. It's so much. It's so many of them. That's the world that we live in today. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. Okay? We're supposed to be not dealing with a lot of issues that we are, because we're not our own prisoners no more. Right? Yeshua's kicked the door open, and we're supposed to be able to walk out. We are free. We're free from our own lustful desires. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But ye did not obey my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord that sat under an oak which was in Orpha, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. So he's threshing wheat, so we know what time of the year this is. Okay, when you're threshing wheat, this is during the Passover season. Okay, it's probably past Passover, but you know, threshing wheat, so probably maybe shifting on towards Pentecost. But we're in this time period. Okay, and it's been seven years of oppression. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. In Tanakh it says hero, mighty man, or a man of valor, or a courageous man, a very heroic man. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord